Use math to make the world a better place. Become an actuary through the Society of Actuaries and find solutions to the world's most pressing challenges. As an actuary, the only thing higher than the pay is the satisfaction.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a boy on a witness stand. He's a teenager, a cancer survivor. He beat the disease when a lot of people thought that he wouldn't. And now he's sitting in a courtroom in Santa Maria, California, telling a jury what he says the most famous person alive did to him. He describes being shown explicit material. He describes being given alcohol. Alcohol, he says, Jackson called Jesus juice. He describes inappropriate touching. His younger brother takes the stand after him and backs up parts of the story. Their mother testifies too. And when all of it is done, 14 weeks of testimony, dozens of witnesses, 10 criminal charges, including child conspiracy and intoxicating a minor, the jury comes back and says the state of California did not prove any of it. Not guilty. Every single count. Yes. This is part three in our series on the accusations against Michael Jackson. And this episode is about the criminal trial. The only time these allegations were tested in a courtroom with a jury, rules of evidence, cross-examination, and the burden of proof, what the prosecution built, how the defense took it apart, and what the verdict actually meant, which is less than you think and more than you think at the same time. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube as we work our way through it. The whole thing started with a documentary. In early 2003, British journalist Martin Brashear aired Living with Michael Jackson. The film showed Jackson in his own world, Neverland Ranch, the theme park rides, the exotic animals, shopping sprees that seemed designed to fill some hole that money couldn't reach. And it showed something that made the country stop. Jackson on camera, holding hands with a teenage boy named Gavin Arvizo, cradling him, defending the practice of sharing his bed with other people's children.
It's not sexual, Jackson told Brashear in the dock. We're going to sleep. I tuck him in. It's very charming. It's very sweet.
The head of California Child Abuse Prevention Organization called it a red flag, because it was. And initially, even D.A. Tom Sneddon, the same prosecutor who'd gone after Jackson in 1993, said that under California law, sleeping in a bed with a child without affirmative offensive conduct wasn't technically a crime. But then the investigation moved forward anyway. Child welfare officials conducted a preliminary investigation of Jackson and Gavin. Their confidential report, which leaked to the media, stated that the accusations appeared unfounded. It didn't matter. And here's something worth sitting with. The prosecution also alleged that after the Brashear documentary aired, Jackson and associates attempted to hold the Arvizo family virtually captive at Neverland and forced them to participate in a rebuttal video. A video designed to make the family look happy and to paint the documentary as misleading. The prosecution called it a conspiracy. The defense called it damage control. But the allegation itself tells you something about the machinery around Jackson. A world where public perception was managed so aggressively that making a family appear content became a coordinated operation. In November of 2003, Santa Barbara authorities raided Neverland Ranch and arrested Michael Jackson on charges of child. He posted $3 million bail the same day. Jackson's attorney, Mark Garagos, called the charges a big lie. Jackson was eventually represented by Thomas Mesereau, a celebrity defense attorney, recommended to the family by Johnny Cochran, the same legal mind that helped shape the O.J. Simpson defense. The trial that followed would run 14 weeks and call dozens of witnesses from both sides. Now, the prosecution's case had two layers, and understanding both is important. The first layer was the specific charges that Jackson did these things to Gavin Arvizo, showed him and his brother explicit material, and provided them with booze and facilitated the abuse. The second layer was pattern. Prosecutors wanted to show the jury that Jackson had a history of this, that Gavin wasn't the first. So they brought in what's called prior bad acts, testimony, witnesses from the 1993 Chandler case. Jason Francia, the son of Jackson's former Neverland maid, who testified that Jackson reached into his shorts and touched him during what started as tickling. And that every time it happened, there was some sort of exchange of money. Francia's mother had reportedly settled with Jackson for around $2 million. On cross-examination, Franca acknowledged that in his first interview with detectives in 1993, he told them Jackson had not done this. He said he denied it because he didn't want to be embarrassed at school. Gavin Arvizo and his brother both testified. They described explicit material, alcohol, and inappropriate touching, but the prosecution's timeline had a problem that the defense pounced on. The alleged, according to the state's own case, occurred after the Brashear documentary aired, after the world was watching, after every journalist and investigator on the planet was paying attention to Michael Jackson's behavior with children. The defense argued it was absurd to believe Jackson would begin doing this at the precise moment global scrutiny was at its peak. And then the defense started dismantling the accuser's credibility. And what they did was systematic. Gavin's mother, Janet Arvizo, took the stand, and it went badly from the beginning. She admitted to having lied under oath in a prior civil lawsuit. She had committed welfare fraud. She failed to disclose a settlement her family received just days before filling out a welfare application, and she was later convicted of it. Her testimony was described by the New York Times as rambling, incoherent, and at times combative. She snapped her fingers at the jury and addressed them directly, which struck several jurors as a little bizarre. One juror would later call her a scam artist. The defense presented the Arvizo family's history of making allegations and pursuing financial settlements as a pattern of its own, not a pattern of victimization, but a pattern of opportunism. Gavin's brother, Star Arvizo, also ran into trouble on the stand. When shown a specific magazine dated months after the family had stopped visiting Neverland, Star initially claimed it was one of the magazines Jackson had shown them. The dates didn't work. He attempted to walk that back. The defense highlighted these inconsistencies methodically, asking the jury to consider whether these witnesses could be trusted with the freedom of the defendant. Then came the defense witnesses. And this is where the trial takes on a significance that extends far beyond 2005. Macaulay Culkin, one of the most famous child actors in history, who'd spent significant time at Neverland and whose name had come up repeatedly in the orbit of Jackson's relationships with children, took the stand and called the allegations absolutely ridiculous. He was clear, composed, and unshakable. He said he'd stayed at Neverland, spent time alone with Jackson, and that nothing inappropriate ever occurred. And when Wade Robson testified, Robson was a choreographer by this point, a successful one. He'd known Jackson since he was a child, since winning a dance contest in Brisbane, Australia. By his own account, he'd slept in Jackson's bed more than 20 times. A former Neverland maid had claimed she witnessed Jackson showering with Robson. Robson took the stand and directly refuted that claim. He was empathetic. He was credible. He helped the defense paint a picture of a man who was eccentric, boundary challenged, perhaps naively intimate with children, but not criminally, not predatory. The jury heard Robson's testimony, waited alongside the other defense witnesses, and reached their verdict. The initial vote in the jury room was 9-acquit, 3-guilty. After deliberation, it became unanimous, not guilty on all counts. One juror told reporters there wasn't a shred of evidence that could have justified a guilty verdict. Another described the prosecution's case as fundamentally broken by the Arvizo's family lack of credibility. But here's what doesn't make the headlines and what matters enormously for understanding this case. Some jurors later said something more complicated than not guilty means innocent. Several indicated they believed Jackson had probably done this to children, but that the prosecution had not proven these specific charges with these specific witnesses under the legal standard required for conviction. That distinction is crucial. An acquittal doesn't mean a jury thinks the defendant is a good person. It doesn't mean they think nothing ever happened. It means the state failed to meet its burden on this case. The state of California chose the wrong family, argued the timeline that contradicted common sense and fact, and put a mother on the stand who had a documented history of lying under oath. The case didn't fail because the concept was impossible. It failed because the execution was disastrous. Jackson walked out of that courthouse a free man. He never walked back into Neverland. He left the country entirely, spending time in Bahrain, in Ireland, away from the press, away from the reach, away from the world that had just put him through what he called the lowest point of his life. Whatever the acquittal meant legally, it cost him something that no verdict could return. The compound he'd built, the rides, the animals, the fantasy world designed to give him the childhood he said he never had, became a place he couldn't face. Neverland became a monument to a question, not an answer. Jackson would never perform there again, never host another family, never stage another of the elaborate events that had defined his relationship with children. The ranch fell into disrepair. The animals were relocated. The gates stayed closed. The man who had built a paradise for children couldn't stand to be inside it anymore. Whether that was because the place reminded him of what he'd lost or what he'd done depends entirely on which version of Michael Jackson you believe. The acquittal gave Jackson's defenders their most powerful weapon, and they've wielded it ever since. The American justice system heard the case, tested the evidence, and return not guilty on every count. That's real. That means something. In any other context, we'd consider that the end of the conversation. But it also gave his accusers something. The knowledge that the strongest case the state ever brought against Michael Jackson was built on the weakest possible foundation. The Arvizo family's dysfunction didn't make the allegations untrue. It made them unprovable. And the prior bad acts witnesses, the former employees, the people who described patterns that predated Gavin by years, their testimony was swallowed up by Arvizo family's collapse. The jury didn't necessarily disbelieve everyone who took the stand. They disbelieved the people the charges depended on. And the gap between not proven and didn't happen, it's a vast, uncomfortable space where the truth might live. The 2005 trial answered one question definitively. The state of California could not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Michael Jackson did this to Gavin Arvizo, but it left a larger question untouched. Was the acquittal a vindication of the man or an indictment of the prosecution? Did justice work, or did the state simply pick the wrong fight with the wrong family? Because there's a witness from that trial who has something to say about it. A witness who told the jury under oath that Michael Jackson never did any of this. A witness whose testimony helped the defense establish that Jackson's relationship with children were unusual but innocent. That witness name is Wade Robson. And years after he helped acquit Michael Jackson, he would say that everything he told that jury was a lie. That Jackson had been doing this with him since he was 7 years old. And he was too damaged to understand it until decades later. Whether that reversal is the delayed truth of a grooming victim or a calculated revision of a man seeking hundreds of millions of dollars from a dead man's estate, that's the next episode. And it might be the hardest one in this series. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. Weigh in with your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Love to continue that conversation with you right there. And again, wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever it is, hit subscribe so you don't miss any of our reporting. Like I said, we'll continue the conversation in the comment section. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big savings are in the air. Don't miss your chance at 15% cash back during Rakuten's Big Give Week. Shop and get rewarded at your favorite stores like Adidas, KitchenAid, Expedia, and hundreds more. So go ahead and refresh your closet, spruce up your home, book that trip, and much more. But 15% cash back is only from May 4th to the 11th. So join now. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app and join for free and start saving. That's Rakuten.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U.
Did you say someone got shot?
November 2006, a college football star on his way to NFL dreams, gunned down in broad daylight.
Just bawling, crying, and he said, "Coach, they killed him."
No weapon, missing witnesses, conflicting accounts, and for years, no arrest.
She insinuated that the Miami PD had done nothing, and it became a little bit more accusatory.
The case goes cold, rumors spread, and the truth gets buried. Until now.
His world could come crashing down. According to him, it was over.
The ending, something no one saw coming, because this story isn't over yet. From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U. Binge the full season right now, wherever you get your podcasts.